You're the type of person that watches a movie more than once, aren't you?
But there are people who legitimately
answer the question, Mateus. Welcome back to another Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show that covers the latest Linux gaming news and reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, you know, baby, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm old man Vin here at LGC Actual, switching the bits in our little studio, joined every week by the man who no longer smells of streetlights. Nay,
now,
he smells of mosquito bites.
Someday love found me, broke those chains that bound me, and now I've touched and gone my separate ways.
Truly terrifying. And of course, one Pedro Mateus.
Something about the chains of love.
The man who drives. That's it. That's what it says on his business card. The man who drives.
I thought he said the man who arrives.
Nope, just drives.
I am the shittiest version of the transporter.
Not really. Not if you get me where I need to be on time, man. And like,
he's Jason Statham.
Way less active gunfire. It's awesome. Together with you, Shot Realm Dynamic, helping us form Cocaine Voltron. What's up? What's new? I was talking about in the pre-super shows and maybe in the pre-shows and FedEx superposition. I'm waiting on like a thing to show up. I'm like, oh, that'll be dope. Got home early. I'm like, it's arriving today. I'm like, I don't believe you, FedEx. And FedEx was like, because you shouldn't, mother.
It's like the timer on your dryer or your washing machine where it's like that's, you say it's 45 minutes. It's not 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You liar. If you needed more time, you can just tell me, right? Like, I'm not going to judge you, washing machine. I just want to know when my pants are clean.
It should be fun. I got a good deal on, it's another thing for interfacing Linux. We're not going to be doing, it's got a sound card. All right. Deal with it. I wanted one. I finally found one for cheap and we're going to play around with it. Keep your eyes out for that. How about you, Jordan? We went through all of our top wishlist titles on Steam.
Yeah, I've a lot of JRPGs on mine. I guess when I added
that's
those
better than
to
the
list,
Baldur's Gateification of Pedro's.
Yeah, there's three Baldur's Gate.
I mean,
five, there's three, yeah. Baldur's Gate games.
Now, I mean, the boy Gates. All right.
To Pedro's credit, I also have Dark Alliance 1 and 2 on my wish list as well. They are just not near the top, but they are still on there. Because I did have fun with those when they were out on PlayStation 2.
And I enjoyed playing them on the PS2, yes.
I would love to stream them with you, Pedro, but I also don't want to pay $40 for a fucking PlayStation 2 game. $40 each for two PlayStation 2 games. It's a little too much. No, I've been sitting here getting eaten by mosquitoes, wasting away. Yeah, it's very, very, very dull week for me. What about you, Pedro?
Pedro's driving right now. He's already got up and left.
He's driving through Faerun.
Do you ever drive around at night, Pedro?
Waterdeep drift?
Occasionally, yeah. gotta be careful at night because they have those little teeny tiny muntjac deers. So, yeah. When you see one of those in the middle of the road, and you go, that's a little too big to be a fox. What the hell? And it raises its head and you see the horns. It's like, oh, hell no.
That's the hell elks.
Yes, the hell deer.
Yes.
Hello, deer.
Will you be my friend, Stab? Oh, no.
But no, as it turns out, I do enjoy driving. I very much enjoy driving. And after spending almost 7 years in this country without a car, it feels good. It feels good.
Just like the horse, it feels good, Jordan.
I mean, I wouldn't say it feels particularly good. You rub it on your skin, and you feel a bit of a burning sensation. It's the steam. Did the horse track do its job? I hope so. We are the 2%, ladies and gentlemen. We did it. Congratulations. Woo-hoo. We are taking over the world one penguin at a time. Don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about the Steam hardware survey. They published the results. For what month is this? I don't know what time it is anymore. It was
May
for
2024.
May, the last month.
It says right there.
The last month. I wasn't looking at it.
It's a mysterious month.
The mysterious month of May. And we have climbed to a whopping 2% of usage, and a lot of that has to do with Steam Holo and that custom APU. Man, people really like those Steam Decks. They're selling. They are bumping up those Linux numbers. It's happening. RonPaul.gif, man. We're a serious platform. There are dozens of us. Dozens.
Apparently the echo is going on too long.
That should be off now.
Okay, all right.
Dozens!
ends. Now we're just going to do like manual echo for the rest. Nah, man, I was taking a look at this. Like, you know, after a decade of almost being the full percent, man, Linux, we're now the new number one rounding error compared to Mac OS. But we were trouncing OS X. Look at that. 232 to 147. So that's a solid dominating, not 0.85. And Pedro, I saw an uptick in this strange AMD custom GPU 0405, which has a jump month to month by a solid 4%. What's going on with that, Ben?
That is what you would otherwise call a Steam Deck.
Oh.
That's how the GPU appears on the listing. And yeah, that right there is the thing that propelled Linux to, well, finally OS X. Yeah, finally dethrone Mac OS X from second place. Now it's all Steam Decks all the way down.
35.64, huh?
If you look at the distribution breakdown as well, we can see that SteamOS Hollow is also making up a corresponding jump as well. So, hey, yeah. it's just the platform is a success. People are buying it. There is still growth even a couple of years after it's been released. So,
And I think it was the Linux Gamer that did like the extrapolation of the numbers from the last time that Valve said, we have however many thousands of active accounts.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, let's do 2% of that. And apparently there's like over 5 million people on Linux these days, if those numbers are anything to go by. So that's pretty good.
Gentlemen, I have questions though. I don't have a problem with. All right, you know what? I just got a problem with this. All right, resolutions, right? Primary. What the hell is 800 by 1280, and how does that work? And tell me it please can't hurt me.
That's is this for Genshin?
That's a Steam Deck, because the screen that they got for the original version of the Steam Deck is a tablet.
That turns out sideways.
It's default sideways.
Yeah. So it can't hurt
me. Always.
All right.
You can see it if you try to boot something else on the Steam Deck, like people found out when they were trying to install Windows on it. It was in portrait mode.
All right. TIL on that. All right. Good. So, yeah, all these numbers are horseshit because they're self-reported and they don't mean anything, but they're in our favor this time, so they're all legit this week.
Yes. Yeah. We're winning.
Statistics are great when they're in our favor.
Indeed. Also, I guess I should have said right at the beginning of the show, we're going to switch things up. Traditionally, we do the Steam update of the week and we just do solid Steam. We're going to try to organize things slightly better after 13 years. So we're going to do all the Steam news, then all the new games, whether or not they're open source, closed source, wherever they come from, wherever they may be. Same with the game updates. Then we're going to go into the news segment at the end. So I don't want to be like, wait a minute, is this on Steam? I'm like, nay, it's not.
But you can play it in the browser.
I hate it.
it's not unghastly, it's not ungengar, it's unhaunter. It's available on GitHub. You can play it in a browser, actually. It is a ghost busting game. So when you have an overwhelming desire to bust, it makes you feel good. And you can go look for ghosts. Right now they have only two ghosts implemented. They're looking to add more features. But yeah, basically you walk around the house and you try to like uncover the ghost and solve the mystery. Does run in the browser. It's written entirely in Rust, so you can run it locally as well. And yeah, it's just a cool little game that that someone's working on, and they've open sourced it under Apache 2.0. So.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool, man. Like, you know, if you're looking for something like what was the other game, Pedro? That's kind of like this.
The mechanics wise, it's Phasmophobia, but the presentation, if you look at it, it's like, ooh, Project Zomboid. I guess that's not gonna get anymore.
Right.
So ghosts. There you go. Ghosts.
Evidence and equipment. And you're welcome for the screenshots on the GitHub page, because Homeboy originally posted this on like open source games. I'm like, hi. Unsolicited advice. Put up some screenshots. And he's like, you're the second person that brought that up. And I'm like, yeah.
Probably a reason for that.
Helps to show what your game actually looks like.
I mean, general practice, if you get a GUI application, be it a game or, you know, a GUI application, anything that's going to be in a window, do a couple of screenshots for everybody. You're good. Easy to build. Like Jordan said, you can just run it right in the browser. And of course, it's rusty. So, cargo, run, all the things. Keep your fingers crossed.
Cargo call.
Not a cult. Hashtag cult. Not a cult. All right. Good news, everybody. The latest update for Team Fortress 2 is that it's now dropped into mostly negative for the first time on Steam from PC Games. And all this is going to be in our show notes, so don't worry about it. That's down in the video description. Team Fortress 2, current almost 200,000 signatures. Yes, save TF2. But as of writing, only 31% of the 18,000, this is a free game, by the way, reviews, and from the last 30 days are positive, making it super negative, to which I just hear people at Valve going, did any of y'all motherfuckers expect to have to update this game 17 years after release? Like, I get that, right? Like, this is not a live service game. They didn't plan on it.
This released with the original Portal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how the orange box.
Dude, that said, what are people upset about? They just bought
They're stuff. Upset that Valve clearly is not paying attention. There was the hashtag save TF2 originally. Now there's the hashtag fix TF2. The complaints are still the same. Basically, cheaters are running rampant, bots are running rampant, and the people that want to play the game are, they're not happy. Rightfully so. And Valve, here's the thing. You could maybe release a game with a 3 on the end and give yourself an excuse to not support this anymore.
You know what, Valve? I want the ultimate. I want Deathlock 3. It's the working title.
What if they just folded TF2 into Counter-Strike? What if they just made it a Counter-Strike game?
You would have to
That would
them.
Piss people off. That would genuinely piss people off.
Would that be better or worse than the current situation, though?
So for all of my brothers and sisters out there, knowing that all the official Valve servers are just bot farms, that's all it is, you know, here's a pro tip. Teamwork.tf. This has been around for a long time. These are community servers with actual moderation and like anti-cheat that works and people keeping track of this stuff. This is where you go to play. And I'm not spoiling it for anybody. You try to bring your bot farm up in here, you're going to get kicked right the fuck out. But it is there. This is where you go for your community servers. If you're like, you want to play Team Fortress 2 and you don't want to just play against a bunch of bots or like, you know, screechy people who don't know about Teamwork TF.
That's the thing. If Valve could easily replace an update that instead of defaulting to the Valve servers when you queue up just by hitting join a game, just default to the community servers. Probably a good idea.
We'll probably get Open TF2 before that.
Why not? No, just there,
do dude, what done, they did.
Done right there, Jordan. You win the internet right there. Valve. Fucking torch it right there. Just open source it. Like, yeah. Peace.
Yeah, let the community take over. TF2. Pull what Beamdog did with Neverwinter Nights and say, okay, here's the stuff that you need to develop all the things. If you release anything major, we'll make the announcements. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you run it.
Not our problem. Bye. There you go. Problem solved. Done.
You're welcome. Jordan solving all the universe's problems once again.
Let's talk about fish arts. This got my attention. Always happy to see people doing game development in Godot. You know, the smart people that are like, hey, Unity's going to come back around and screw us. And they're like, yeah, we should probably find something else. Be it Unreal Engine, be it Godot, be it Love, whatever. I don't care. As long as it's not Unity. Well, I saw this post on the Godot subreddit, and we're like, we're making fish arts open source, but only if you can defeat us in a tournament. So the developers will open source this. It's going to be under the MIT license, and you got to show up for the tournament. It's multiplayer. It's fish. Which apparently, you combine spells, Jordan. How does that work?
Yeah, so if you ever played Magicka or Magicka 2, you have like a fire spell, an ice spell, like a lightning spell, a bunch of different spells. Different hotkeys, and then different combinations of keys will get you different types of spells. So like combining this type of spell with this other type of spell will get you a shield, and so on and so forth, and you can like modify spells and create new effects. It was pretty fun. I mean Magicka also let your wizard just carry a gun. There was just like a gun that you could start off the campaign with and you could just shoot people, but the magic was still a little bit stronger. Still, it's free to play. It is
now free to play.
Yes, it is now free to play. And yeah, open source or not, still cool to see a game like this done on Godot. And, you know, it's got It's got the online multiplayer.
And it's a native Linux thing, man. Like, you know what? It's a creative bit of marketing because, you know, in the post, he's like, this game never really took off. We put a lot of time in it. And we, you know, if you make something like that special with PvP online and no one shows up to your party, you're like, well, fuck, this is a good way to do it.
It helps to like throw the glove down and be like, you got, none of y'all can beat us. And then, then people will take exception to that.
Hopefully some people show up and they throw the match and at least we'll get the ammo. Because, you know, this at the very least will be valuable for other people doing game dev, especially, you know, you'll be able to take a look at it, you know?
Even like a working multiplayer framework for like online multiplayer, just stuff that people can snipe so that fucking games can have online multiplayer, please. Thank you.
Right? No, couch co-op. Wait, you mean Steam Play Together? That's the same thing.
Remote play together, man. Yeah, that's the solution.
Half a second delay between inputs.
Pedro. Well,
you know, Civ 7 is coming out, so that's one use case for remote play together.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> Let's move on to rifles with legs.
Oh, yes. Running with rifles. It's admittedly, it's a game that I shouldn't like, but I really do. Because if you have your strategy games and you get like the top down view and your units are teeny tiny and you're controlling them a bunch at a time, running with rifles sort of takes.
Let's put it on its head. Give me a game with a top up view.
you just get taint view all the time. Yeah. You gotta navigate.
But yeah, no, with this one it sort of takes that particular perspective but puts you in charge of the teeny tiny little unit and you control the one, and when you die you respawn as another one on a different part of the map. And they've been releasing updates. They released this on Linux years ago and they've been pretty good with the updates. This one is to basically the celebrations of D-Day being 80 years ago happened a while back. So they were kind of crunched for time to release the D-Day inspired map, which has the famous Normandy beach landing or a close approximation thereof.
It also has the car from Lethal Company, it looks like.
Yeah, no, the vehicles have been in the game
great for value.
A long time. And it is genuinely a fun game if you like the army men mass mayhem style of multiplayer. If you enjoy that, that is 100% recommended for me. I've put a lot of hours into that game for just that reason. It's genuinely fun. So, good job.
We got keys for this back in the day or something, right?
Yeah.
All right.
It was on the Sura. Like,
oh, wow. Ooh.
Talk about blast from the past, man.
Deep cuts,
This week is all about the ancient references.
I hope our cloud saves on the Sura are still okay.
They're backed up on Desurium, you guys.
Oh, right.
Yes.
That's going to do it for the Stevie stuff, but let's go ahead and move into the news about something that we always bring up because, man, we want to believe so hard. Yeah, Computex is going on, right? And, you know, everybody's in, like, Taipei, chilling out. Computex, I guess I should say. And, like, the scuttlebutt, even from, like, NVIDIA, because, you know, Jensen got up there and, like, talked for 2 hours about fuck nothing. Like, I tried to watch, like I was like, why? Nothing. Nothing about gaming cards, nothing. Typical NVIDIA, like, we got AI money now, peasants. But some of the scuttlebutt, the rumors, and just because they straight up rumors, is, like, NVIDIA is not even considering a 50 series GPU until 25 to even start thinking about it. No, we're just stuck, man, because like nobody's getting any competition. The only little bit of hope we have is Intel of all fucking companies.
I need a hero.
Which is a dodgy place to put hope the last time I checked. Because Intel really likes to Intel a lot of times.
Yeah.
We're talking about Battle Mage. Good on you, Gamers Nexus. They got, a web zone, which my scroll thing doesn't work on. Boo, bad on you. I got to manually scroll like a barbarian.
Like this a sucker.
So we're talking about, Intel Tom. There's old Tom Peterson talking about the Z2 architecture, you know, in Lunar Lake in that configuration with that little bit. This is a bit of a deep dive. So a couple of things, you know, he talked about like, you know, the original Alchemist. Yeah, Alchemist was kind of bad because it used the sim to 8 and they've moved that up to 16. So those things have gotten better. 12.5% increase in draw performance. And apparently the Alchemist GPUs were also like kneecapped, man. Like they were just couldn't get the data through them quick enough. I'm like, I think we're all just kind of surprised that they worked at all.
It seems like a lot of the architectural changes that they're talking about has to do with like cleaning up wasted resources and like actually allowing the card to utilize the, you know, circuitry that it has at hand, mm-hmm. which should theoretically, you know, give it a higher like hardware cap in terms of like what it will actually take to maximize, like max out the capabilities of this card. Hopefully.
Dude, I mean, I want to believe so hard I'm going to pull something. We need something, man. Like, here's what we need until we need, like, benchmarks, real gaming benchmarks, because this is our last hope. Like, AMD's too happy being second place, which is going to be slightly less fuck you pricing than NVIDIA.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you're getting from Team Red right now. And what Jordan was talking about earlier, Jordan was like, well, the prices have come down. Until some new shit comes out.
Yeah, right. Battle Mage, baby. Yeah.
There's no competition, so where the price is going to go? It's Intel's like the, you saw it with the A380 and the amount of performance that you were getting out of that card and the fact that it still needed an 8-pin GPU PCIe power like connector plugged into it. That doesn't make any sense. So yeah, efficiency is Intel needs to work on efficiency, not just for the GPUs, but also for the CPUs. But yeah, this unfortunately is coming to laptops first.
Makes sense.
It is Intel. They did that with the first Xe graphics. Whatever. But yeah, and they're changing their own proprietary drivers to make game compatibility better going forward, because that was one of the big things, especially for people on Windows that relied on Intel's proprietary drivers, that every time a new game came out, they had to update the drivers for the game to
work,
even have Works a semblance of a chance of working. Yeah,
they've learned a lot, man. You remember before Alchemist came out, I remember, I think Peterson was still doing, Peterson and the Big Ging were doing the mm-hmm. PR rounds, and
Ryan Schrutz.
Yeah, people were worried about the driver situation, and they said, hey, we're Intel. We've been making driver for 20 years. And I'm like, that's why we're worried about this.
That's precisely right. Why people were worried. Yeah. Yes.
the best indicator of future behavior is past behavior. So, yeah.
As it turns out, on Linux, people were having an okay experience with it because, hey, guess what? They were just using the i965 drivers. So, hey.
Intel GPUs under Linux, discrete GPUs, as the owner of the massive, the dominating, all-powerful A310.
Mm-hmm.
They function. That's about it. They run more shit than I expected.
Yeah, and like right now I'm in a situation where like I have an RX 580 in my TV box mm-hmm. that I would love to replace with like with an Intel card if it can like not suck ass and like run some games decently, do some transcode, do some like AV1 shit, then yeah.
Maybe have fan control?
That would be nice.
That'd be great. I'm
I'm waiting for the core control people to figure that shit out because my money's on them
like
doing
that.
It.
Like, yeah, made me want to jump out a window. And I'm like, how long is Intel? Why I'm the first person reporting on this? A year and a half later, and I'm like, hi, breaking news: no fan control under Linux.
I mean, could that A310 operate with no fan? Period. Is the state not on, just on
for a little bit?
Yeah,
it probably started throttling. Not
ironically,
that it burn itself, but
that card has throttling. Become unobtainium.
Well, yeah, AV1 stream thingy,
shouty doom little card. People are like, fine, whatever, we'll take it. And you know, one slot configuration, I'm like, go for it. But now there's an entire subreddit dedicated to hacking it and putting other coolers on it because
mm-hmm.
you can hear it from the other room. But hey,
you just got to make sure that you remove the PCI bracket, right?
I mean, that's if you just want to change it from low profile to full size. You got to pull off the entire assembly. Yeah, whatever.
Just snip a little bit of plastic off at the corner and they're done.
Right. Like, seriously, it's like, here's how you fix that. Now, JPR, they do forecasting and, you know, collect the data numbers and put them into charts and all that stuff. They did one with the most recent, the first quarter 2024, like measuring like market share and growth. where, you know, NVIDIA is dominating and AMD is like, hey, we're like 20%. The movement for Intel was effectively zero, which is not good. And it seems like everybody who's going to buy Alchemist has already bought Alchemist. And here's what I'm worried about with Battlemage. Just to say it, what are we expecting in performance? I hear a lot of people talking about like 40 series. I think if realistically we should expect it to dominate the 30 series NVIDIA.
Here's the thing. The 3060 and the 4060 are within 1% to 2% of each other. So if they clip the 30 series, they clip the 40 series. So unless you're talking about the high end, like 4070, 4070 Ti, so on and so forth.
High end is a complete pipe dream. I don't think Intel even is imagining that they will come close to that.
That's what I was going to say. So, unless you're talking about the high end, but Intel is not going to get to the high
end. I'm talking about the upper, medium, low end.
Yeah. 76, 7700.
You need something out of the box for $300 bucks that can compete with a 3080, which I have not doubts.
Happening. Not happening.
Maybe if you said 3060,
yeah, probably.
you know, if they can knock on 3070, that would be like best case scenario.
Well, I mean, they already have the 770, which is, and you know, not across the board, but it is faster in some scenarios than a 3060 right now.
Mm-hmm. But it needs, instead of one 8-pin, needs two.
We're
8-pins.
Not, nobody fucking brought a power pin. That's a modifier. We're not faster. I don't care if I need fucking more power.
Bits in, bits out. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, we're not efficiency. That's cool. Cool story, bro. Give me something that dims the lights, but give me something that's $300 with a good frame buffer on it, like starting at like 16 gigs. I don't know. It's got to be a hell of a thing to try to get and to convince. Investors are like, okay, we're going to take another hosing on these cards because they did it with Alchemist, dude. If they made a penny off each one of those cards that they sold, I'd be surprised.
And it's like, someone needs to take this loss so that the fucking industry can right itself and, like, you know, return to something resembling reasonable prices, because I don't think it's ever going to go down again.
Things change, like, people get complacent. We know, we used to talk on the show, you know, when before Ryzen came out, I'm like, what's Intel going to do? And it's what they did, is when their first gen Ryzen's, like, Intel just walked to the back of the warehouse and like dusted off what is, like, yeah, we got one of these here, all right, that beats it. They were able to do that for one cycle, two cycles, but this is how rock and rolls. This is good for everybody, hopefully. Everything just works out.
Nemo, I'm aware that this is a pipe dream because you can't convince people to spend money, even though it would be good long term.
I can. Mind control.
People to spend money, but not on the things that they should be spending money on.
I got my colander and this golf cart battery. It's my mind control device. And we're gonna kidnap Tom Peterson. We're gonna kidnap Lisa, and we're gonna kidnap Jensen.
Allegedly,
and we're gonna have a little conversation.
Hi, lawyers. She's making a joke.
Yes, I'm absolutely joking. Not at all serious. I can't even operate a golf cart.
But you admit to having a cauldron.
I admit to having jumper cables.
Ah. So, I mean, hey, man, there's that. Well, Battlemage, whatever. Like, this is probably the last time we're going to talk about it on the show until this damn thing comes out. And One thing I did notice for having that A310 on Jordan's box, I got the compute stack installed from their repository. They're constantly updating that. Like, unlike Team Red, they're trying to unfuck their compute stack.
Doesn't Team Red have some, like, fundamental hardware flaws in their current gen shit?
There's all types of problems, with most of them just being AMD. Like, they missed that boat. And I think AMD's sitting back hoping, because there's, like, some legislation proposals in North America to come after NVIDIA for having to lock in for like CUDA and compute. And I'm like, no, homie.
I'm fine with someone coming in and making them spread that love around. But yeah. I mean, AMD did it
because
to themselves.
NVIDIA was very, rightfully so, they're very protective of CUDA.
Yeah, NVIDIA started with that shit 20 years ago, homie.
Yeah. But someone made that open source CUDA re-implementation of sorts, that you could have CUDA workloads running on AMD and Intel. Uh-huh. And NVIDIA's like, no, shut that down.
So you're saying that they sent that project a cease and desist, Pedro Mateus?
I don't know if it was a cease and desist, but they were very, very protective, because I remember seeing the news at the time.
So you're saying that project is no longer active and being developed?
I think they hired a developer. NVIDIA hired a developer and said, just don't.
All right.
So, yeah, no, because I remember looking up that GitHub repo a few weeks back, and it hadn't been updated in a while.
Mm-hmm. So the GitHub repo was still available.
Yes, the all repo right. is still there.
speaking of NVIDIA and GitHub repos, you know what NVIDIA what repo they're going to be updating in a few weeks?
Yes, the very much the RTX Remix Creator Toolkit, finally, which people had been shouting ever since they did that presentation with Morrowind of all games, showing what RTX Remix can do. They updated some of the bits directly after the presentation, and then last year they open sourced the game integration bit, which you saw a lot of people use that to introduce DLSS as a mod to a number of games. There were also a couple of rebuilds like Portal that showed off, okay, this is what you can do with RTX Remix. And now they're actually making the Creator Toolkit, the thing that runs on the back end, open source, which is great. That's awesome. And I hope that now finally someone will make a version of the RTX Remix they showed with Morrowind, but instead of for the vanilla game, for OpenMW, please.
That'd be really cool. Nice. Oh, look at this AI bullshit. Worn down, aged, wear tear. Medieval wood, oak.
Yo, yes.
Yeah, it's got prompts.
Prompt engineering, baby.
Hey, man,
it's
all, yeah.
It's also got a REST API so that you can hook this into Blender and produce your RT, your real-time ray traced lighting. In my brain, I hear RT and I think real time. That's ray traced lighting on your objects, and stream it directly into the game engine as well. I do like their little performance comparison here with like the fucking laptop GPUs. Yeah. Like, yes, comparing this to a laptop 4070 and a laptop 4090 and an Apple M3. Look at that performance.
But, well, I mean, you know, to be fair, it's like the M3 is like the same chip that's in their desktop.
Yes. They got the Pro, and then they got the let's actually turn the faucet on and see how well it goes, and it nearly halves the image generation
time. Hang on, no, I can come in, but it uses a lot less power to be that slower.
The M3, yes.
Mm-hmm. It does, so it's a better processor.
Like, mm-hmm. A lot less power compared to even a 4070.
Hey, we get
a lot less power.
You know what? Here's my problem. Like, both of these are good enough for me. I mean, this is AI upscaled and you get a can of PBR. So,
And for Half-Life 2, a game that already, like, it looks pretty good.
It looks honestly better, man. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
there's actual bump mapping on the texture, yes, and the lighting reflects accordingly.
At what cost, Pedro?
So yeah,
if
you want Half-Life 2 or OpenMW to run worse than they already do, can add RTX.
Yes.
This is good. This is going to allow people to like create new real-time lit assets and breathe some new life into games and hopefully make them look a little prettier and make it a little easier on the asset creators who are putting this stuff together.
They're putting HD texture artists out of work, Jordan.
I mean, yeah, with the prompts. Absolutely.
I want prompts. So I just want to type in hot dogs. Don't judge me.
you can type hot dogs into Bing right now, baby.
Oh yeah, they did a version. I'm looking through the list of games because at the bottom, you can download the beta now. Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, it's still in beta. And they also have a link to ModDB that has the current active mods. They made one for Need for Speed Underground and Trackmania Forever.
Ooh.
So, yeah.
Which Trackmania?
Forever.
United Forever. Boo. Trackmania 2 Superior. Come play with us on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Maybe get this working and start making some RT lit Trackmania cars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just be careful with your saves.
Oh, yes. Especially if you got the game on GOG, because GOG started to do some math on how much they're paying to host the cloud saves. S3
is expensive, okay?
Yes. Yes, it is. They were doing their math on how much it costs to host Skyrim saves on GOG Galaxy, and they realized this shit's expensive. So they're going to basically put a cap on the allocation of basically the size of the save files. They're setting 200 megabytes per game. That's it. That's all you get. And if you're playing Skyrim modded, the 200 megabytes is not going to be
enough. I like how their cyberpunk is taking up all the space, like 400. How many save files is that?
A lot.
if I remembered what drive it was installed on, I would go and look and see how big my cyberpunk save is.
If you're one of those people that creates different saves, that also is going to increase the size. But yeah, it is definitely a good guy GOG saving Linux users from losing their cloud saves by not, you know, bringing GOG Galaxy to Linux.
And again, like, for everything other than Skyrim, 200 megabytes per game seems more than reasonable. Most save files are going to be like 10 to 15 megabytes at most, unless it's a game where you're like making and storing and sharing stuff. I don't know. It's good that they're warning you, back up your shit right now. If you're on Heroic or on the Heroic Games Launcher, you have some GOG cloud saves that you may need to extract somehow. Not on Lutris, though. Lutris will have their own cloud saves, as Strider yelled at me earlier today. Yes. So, you know, go bug him if your cloud saves don't work on Lutris.
It's kind of wild, man. So you have August 31st, man. A lot of people can be mad August 32nd. Or yes, my new my Ventorian calendar. I will be releasing on August 31st as well. So that'll make sense. How devastated would you be? I want to hear back from people. Leave me a comment under the video. If you lost all of your save files, and I'm talking all of them, kids. I'm not talking about just your GOG save. I'm talking your Steam saves, your save saves, your Pokemon digital save, battery back, all that shit's gone.
Including your characters in MMO games.
Fucking earth. Now, I was thinking about this, and I'm like, you know, for a solid afternoon, I'd be mildly perturbed. A little bit. Like, maybe. I'd have to work myself up. I'm like, I don't tap the pause button on games too often. Like when I find a game, you hear me like I'm looking for a game to play, like I am currently right now, with the intent of like fucking that game up and being done with it. I don't have like a lot of little games on pause.
The
thing.
You're the kind of person who plays the game through once and then that's it. You're done. Never play it again.
I'll play it twice. You're the type of person that watches a movie more than once, aren't you?
But there are people who legitimately
answer the question, Mateus. Your honor.
Submit it for your approval.
But yeah, no, there are people who legitimately play the same game over and over and over and over because that's their jam. That's the game that they really like to play. And I can see for those people that would legitimately piss them off.
I'm very anti things that don't just let you not extract your save period, like console games especially. You know, back in the day you had memory cards, right? Like you could like you had an external thing that you could pull out, you could like copy the save over and so on and so forth. You could put it into like a PC reader and back it up. That doesn't really exist these days on like your Nintendo Switch or your PlayStation, right? One of the nice things about like being on PC is I took my save out of a native Linux game, dropped it into the Windows version, and picked it up where I left off. And being able to do that is nice. I like having that facility, and I really dislike it when games do not provide that in any sort of way. You brought this up. You echoed an old point I made. When will games start introducing, like, tie it into your Google account, tie it into your OneDrive, your own cloud, whatever. Just let you know. There are a million cloud storage providers out there that people already have, and it would be pretty simple. Just add integration, say like, here's the OAuth, connect to this thing. Here's where your save file lives.
Yep.
You got to do it yourself though. That's the thing. Cause that already exists, but you have to set that up yourself.
Well, I always think just like an age thing. I consider like cloud saves just ephemeral. Like it's cool that they're there, but I don't like, you don't have any recourse either. Valve's like, fuck you. Like, huh. All right.
And then sometimes you're like, you download a game and you're like, oh shit, you still have my saves. Nice.
Yeah. At least it's with a nicety. Steam, if you have the heads up in Steam, you just don't start the Steam client because the files are kept locally on your machine.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you can at that point.
And it's awesome when it can't get that shit synced. It'll bug you the hell about it.
Yes.
Are you sure?
You always get that stupid little cloud with the exclamation mark.
Good times. Yeah. Let us know. Like, how do you manage your saves? And like, do you even care? Like, I
Ludo Savvy. That's how you manage your saves.
Isn't there a website that has a bunch of save files?
Probably, yeah.
For video games where you can just go download them. Like, I want to be here in this game. If there's not, there's your business idea, kids. You're going to need more than 200 megs, though.
I know they have those for websites Mass Effect. Yeah, I do know they have that for Mass Effect for people who want to, like, I want to play this version of Mass Effect 2 where I've, like, done these choices and I don't want to, right, like, have to play through the entire fucking series again.
Well, my first thought is, like, I would assume something like it exists, if not just for speedrunning.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, I want to be able to practice from this point, or this point, but I don't want to like have to manually do that. Or maybe I just want to, you know, whatever. I don't have a save from that area and I don't want to do it. Let me know. Let's talk about the biggest news of 4 years ago.
Small form factor pieces.
4 years ago. This
that
was
type C hole.
Top news, man. This is Interfacing Linux. I did a thing on the HP Elite Desk 705 G4, not Maxi, but the Mini. Look at it. It's being all Mini right there. Why is this interesting? Because inside of this critter is a 2400G CPU, which you can get this entire thing with 8 gigajoules of RAM and NVMe drive for less than you can just buy a box 2400G CPU right now. It's amazing. I just wanted to do this real quick because seriously, if you were looking around for just a little fuck around computer, like, there it is. It can play games. I got all the information that you need, what you need to replace, like the fan. Memory's easy to get together. It's about the size of 2.5 Raspberry Pis. Everything Linux works out of the box. These things are certified for like some Ubuntu shit, so you know Debian's going to run. And if your distribution doesn't run on it, you just made some weird life choices, man. All the audio stuff works. The Wi-Fi works. The Etherhoot noodles work. Disk performance pretty damn decent out of the box. We're talking 2.2 gigs. How's that compared to your Raspberry Pi 5? Power consumption, very reasonable. Electronic vampirism, it idles at like 12 watts. Okay, Raspberry Pi, you got me beat there. Full tilt, 42 watts, not too bad. It's not too shouty either, 36 dBA at idle. And of course, it plays 4K video. Hardware acceleration works. Why? Because it's a G processor from AMD. This is not, you know, some snooze box like an N100 or whatever those Intel. Because there's a little $100 piece. This is a legitimate ass computer, man. Like, you can do anything you want, including a digital audio workstation. And naturally, I ran Geekbench on it to piss some people off on YouTube for no other reason than that. I don't have any use for that. Definitely buy a second stick of memory RAM to put in it. It can spin a furry donut at 720p. It can spin 11. But if you put that extra stick of RAM in, that goes up to 21. And, you know, I did torture test on it. Not that you'd really want to play Shadow of the Tomb Raider on it, but you could. 32 yeah. FPS. I mean, if I was a console gamer, I would call that a performance boost.
Them numbers are very similar to the ones for the Steambox 360, the original version that only had the 2400G.
Dude, 720p dirt rally, or just dirt playable, 112 FPS. But if you take out that second stick of RAM, it jumps down to 80.
The dual channel is important.
That's how dual channel works. It makes the FERPs go burr. If you're concerned about performance per watt, then maybe it's not your thing. Stick with the ARM. But this is what I bought instead of Raspberry Pi 5. Why? Because it's $120. It's small. It's cheap. It's fast. It's the perfect. It's those three options. You can never get options like that. You look at an. I've always been fascinated by these small PCs. And yeah, Intel. Let's bring that back up. Intel Nook. Fast, small, fucking expensive. You got Raspberry Pi 4, Raspberry Pi 5s. You know what? They're small, reasonably cheap, but they ain't fast. This thing's fast. This thing's cheap. And of course, it is nice and small. Now, this price is artificially low right now. People have already hit me up on the social medias. And they're like, yeah, work's dumping these. Apparently, these are not compliant with Windows 11. I'm not saying you can't get Windows 11 running on them. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Probably no TPM 2.0.
Yeah.
Because first-gen Ryzen not happening
yet. Dumping these things. Less than 4 years ago, these things were $700 in this configuration. Get them for $120. When that supply runs out, they're going to go back up to what they were just a few months ago before this. Just they're all over eBay, all over Amazon, and they typically sell for about like $280, $300. No, this is a good discount if you're looking to pick one up cheap. Unless you're in Canada, it's $200.
Yeah, about 200. I looked around on Amazon. And then, you know, even if you're going to be buying them off eBay from the States, you got to worry about conversion and shipping and shit. That, yeah, so about $200 when all is said and done. Yeah. Which is still pretty decent.
Pedro
was
looking around for an all-in-one. He couldn't find one, but somebody else from Britannia is better at searching on eBay than Pedro, and they found one for like 118 pounds.
Yeah, the cheapest one I found was 130. Is it between 130 and 150? Mm-hmm. But the thing I found was the Ryzen 5 4600G, just the CPU,
yeah,
for 90 pounds on Amazon, brand new. So that's, yeah, at that point you go, old PC, much, much newer CPU.
But this does get you the all-in-one, right? Like it's the full system.
Yeah.
You got to stretch it to call it an old PC because it's a current socket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've already got new CPUs coming. You can't upgrade the CPU on these things. Like, this is not a curiosity box. You could straight up use this as your fucking primary PC.
Mm-hmm. Easily.
Yeah, it's a small business PC, right? Like, yeah, it's for...
it's a small business PC with AMD graphics.
Yeah, I'd agree. You don't have to fuck around. But speaking of graphics, if you want to get wild and crazy, they make a discrete add-on internal RX 560 with 4 gigajoules of memory RAM. If you want to clip one of those bad boys on for an extra $60, if you're brave. All this is over in Interfacing Linux. I got some affiliate links if you want to click those. If not, I don't give a fuck. Just do a search for Elite Test 705 G4 Mini if you want one. If you don't, if you're like Joe wrote in last on Wednesday, he's like, I gotta come up with an excuse. Like, hey, don't just fucking buy one. You never know. You don't need an excuse. You gotta
justify it to the significant other.
Like, if I was building a home theater PC, like, this thing's got an SSD caddy and it's got an NVMe drive. Like, you're done right there. You put this thing, like, with hardware acceleration built in. Let's go. Wi-Fi works out of the box. There you go. And that's probably the last I'll speak of it. Where's mine? It's in the rack running Jitsi server. Ayo. Why? Because I didn't know what else to do with it.
Looking for problems to solve.
Hey, man. Good times had by all. Now, Snapdragon's been all in the news, dude.
Yeah.
It's fierce. Rawr.
And Qualcomm is making some claims. They are saying that they aim to capture 50% of the PC market within the next 5 years. This is a bit of a bold claim, but some of these ARM systems that are coming out have some serious horsepower. And, you know, the article from Reuters.com, the links to all this stuff is in our show notes. They talk mostly about the Microsoft side of things and how, like, oh, Microsoft's been an amazing partner and they're working really hard to get the software up and running. You know, here in Linux land, we've had a heck of a head start when it comes to running x86 and x86-64 programs on ARM.
Thanks, Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, thanks, Raspi. Thanks, Box86. Thanks, Vex. Microsoft definitely has some catching up to do when it comes to software compatibility, oddly enough. But yeah, and I think the other monkey wrench in here as well is we're talking about small form factor PCs. We're talking about lower end budget systems because people don't want to spend thousands of dollars on a computer anymore. With the comparison to something like the Steam Deck for like ARM based gaming systems. The Steam Deck has really lowered the ceiling when it comes to like what people deem as an acceptable gaming system. You know, when your ARM-based system has to compete against a laptop CPU versus a full-on desktop, gives you a little bit more wiggle room in terms of trying to sell like, hey, here's the performance. You know, we're running emulated x86 code at like, you know, 80% efficiency, but our crazy ass ARM CPU can back it up and we can like run shit at 720p 30 and give you like 20 hours of battery life. How about that? That would be cool as hell.
No, that's horrible. You're a wizard. Burn them. Speaking of that, though, I mean, we've been waiting for this. There's a bunch of hype with a Qualcomm, that new SoC that's going to be in the Windows laptops and hopefully a lot of other stuff, the Elite. And they are not messing around with this thing. Like, even at Computex, they were like, here, review it. Benchmark it against whatever the fuck you want, man. Go for it. Publish it. We don't care. It'll do it. What got my attention is DaVinci Resolve. Now, if you go for Beta 3, DaVinci Resolve 19, this was done this week, now has support for that chip. Blackmagic don't move unless you grease those palms. So Qualcomm is like seriously pushing this out. And Microsoft
that's on Windows though, yeah?
Yeah. Microsoft.
Are they going to release a, like a DaVinci for Linux on ARM? Or is that like a pipe dream type thing?
I don't know. Send them an email. Be like, hey, what's up? No, dude. All right, let's see if I can get back the momentum. Where was I? Yeah. Windows, you know, these were going to be great for Windows Recall. Oh.
Well, yeah, you have companies like Dell advertising, oh, the new Qualcomm are the AI-enabled laptops, and I just want to reach over, you know, into the screen and slap whoever had that idea over the internet, but unfortunately, a slap over IP is not a thing yet.
Well, apparently, like, in their current configuration, they have enough lanes. I think they got 8 free PCI Express lanes, too.
Well, the Qualcomm, NVMe got to... somewhere.
No. 8 free, Pedro. Did you hear me? After.
After already having NVMe? Yes. All right.
That many. That's 8.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting there, not doing anything. Just chilling out. Having a good time. Like, I don't know why Qualcomm threw those in. Like, why would you throw an extra PCI Express lanes there? Maybe. Desktop version.
They're dedicated Qualcomm GPU.
Yes.
Oh man, they're gonna make a big Panfrost. It's just gonna be a big ARM GPU on a PCI slot. They're just like, here you go, friends.
I mean, 8X, you could probably have like the add-in cards that have the 4 NVMe slots in them. Each of them will still get like 2X, but it's fine. That's doable.
Because there's no way you could do graphics, PCI Express 4.0 by 8. Nah, because we choked that. go look at your utilization on that. See if you can get it up to 2.
Yeah, although, well, Mesa already works just fine on ARM. Hey, because Linux has had.
Here's the thing. NVIDIA already, I don't know about fucking AMD, but NVIDIA's already got ARM GPU drivers. Yeah.
Yes.
They're in the drop-down on the NVIDIA website, like front and center. They're like, pick your platform. Oh, you're on Linux? Did you want the ARM ones? Yeah, right. Sure. Here you go. It's a bit of an interesting time we're in. And I'm really hopeful. I want to see some cool, badass ARM systems.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I look forward to, because Ven had the Steam ARM client before 2030 in the notes.
Mm-hmm.
No. It's just going to be running over FEX because this is Valve we're talking about.
All right, you heard it here. Pedro confirmed it. Steam ARM client 2031.
But yeah, the...
is that like C-Lab?
I look forward to some kind of Steam, whether it's native or it's going to be running through FEX or something, that Valve gives money to the people behind FEX and Box 86, Box 64 to ensure game compatibility on the ARM devices.
With our sample size of 1 with the Steam Deck, right, with Proton, it seems like that is Valve's approach. They're like, we're not going to make you port your shit. We're going to spend the money and we're going to develop the resources so that we can just run your code as is on our
Steam. Yeah. You think about that, but what do we do when like we're trying to run Windows ARM code? Shit's going to get a little more complex here in a minute, lads, if Windows ARM takes off.
We need Mega Ultra Chicken for that. I mean,
you don't think.
Is anyone going to release native ARM games?
Yes.
For Windows?
Probably. Do you know how many dump trucks are currently en route? Microsoft ain't fucking around this time. Like, will it work? I don't know. Are they not fucking around this time? Correct, they're not.
What will be weird is the future where, like, ARM is like, yes, ARM is the PC architecture. X86 is for the consoles.
And I mean, game companies easily bought. Look at Baldur's Gate for the new M series.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Apple drove that dump truck up to them, like, make that shit happen. They're like, here you go. Come on, work your way through it, Pedro.
That's the thing. ARM also took Proton and made the game porting kit. They made a big deal out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just straight up emulation.
We're talking about the entire market for games.
Apple? The entire market for games?
No, Windows. I said we're talking about Windows. The entire market for games.
Well, Windows on ARM. Windows on ARM has even less.
I didn't say Windows. We're just talking about Windows, Microsoft Windows, the thing that's going to be run. Microsoft making a push for this is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but currently, as the platform exists, there's more Linux on ARM than there is Windows on ARM.
Yes. I never disputed that.
They're going to be spending a lot of money to change that.
Right. That's the plan. Yeah. That falls under my not fucking around category.
I look forward to the, but to your point, Ben, I wonder if we are going to see like the wine arm, the warm.
No, I you're right. What I was bringing up is what are going to be the complexities that we will encounter if like this does get traction. Why? Because they want the battery life, man. Like one thing, one reason you buy the MacBook is why you get it with the M series. You charge it like every couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
And you use it, you know, it's not like 20% brightness and I don't watch YouTube videos, you know, and nurse it from charger to charger. It'll run for a couple of days. You're good.
Well, and like, I wonder if Microsoft is smart, they will basically just...
You're funny. All right.
Yeah, with the jokes. I know. Listen, we got to take a little puff pass.
Let me make sure Linux Recall got that.
Yeah. I don't even remember where the fuck I was going with that, man. If Microsoft was smart, what they'd do is they'd basically just cross-compile their shit to ARM so that the Windows API is the same, and then in terms of Proton, or in terms of Wine supporting it, it's like, as long as the system calls return the appropriate shit, then the code doesn't really care, right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's if Microsoft were smart. If they're gonna like, oh, we have this special version of Win32 specifically for ARM.
It's called the Universal Windows Apps or the Universal Windows Platform. They already have that shit.
Yeah, Wine can run those apps though now, right? They've added that support in. No, not yet.
No.
Fun times. Buckle up, ladies and gentlemen. We are streaming live. If you don't know that, we're on Twitch. This is not a fever dream. Over on twitch.tv/LinuxGamecast. So we always like to give it a mention if something changes at Twitch, which we found out. They've decided to roll back. Good news, everybody, for your horny VTubers.
Ooh.
They've rolled back that. We learned about that in the show, because apparently you couldn't... your VTubers were getting a little too naughty?
A little too spicy. Some jiggle physics.
VR chat. The anime cat girls couldn't be, you know...
We're old. We don't know. We read it on Twitter before the show and we're like, huh. But that's not what we're talking about. I just want to give that a mention because it might roll into Twitch removing every member of its safety advisory council. They're going to replace all 9 council members with Twitch ambassadors. Yay. Because what's the point of having a board unless you control it, ladies and gentlemen? And the safety advisory council has been around since 2020. You know, they got a check and they did safety advisory shit. No more. They were just all told, like, peace, we're done. We're going to get some ambassadors. So these are going to be people who positively contribute to the Twitch community. Yeah, people who rely on us for a job. As streamers who will, have you, the viewer and fellow streamers, first and foremost. They're going to fight for you.
Volunteers.
Yeah, so a bunch of the people on the Safety Advisory Council had stuff like degrees in social work and psychology and had expertise in stuff like community safety and community management. So now we're just moving these guys over to some ambassadors, read loyalists and volunteers. This will absolutely make folks safer, and absolutely these are the first folks who are going to be thrown under the bus when the next awful, awful thing just emerges from Twitch.
To be fair, I can see some of those volunteers trying to push their own agenda because it has happened before. So, yeah, I don't think I'm the only one going, that's a bad idea. That's a genuinely bad idea, Twitch.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a move to improve safety. It seems like a move to improve their
plot. Save money. And it's not even that much money, because they were saying that the outgoing members got paid between $10,000 and $20,000 a year. So that's chump change.
They weren't even full-time positions.
Oh, no, yeah. I don't think it was had anything to do with money. This was all about, like, those people might have said something that we disagreed with.
Well, yeah.
That's a point, right? Because, you know, they're not reliant on us to live. So, here's my idea. Let's get some streamers.
Yeah. Like I said in the pre super shows, big, we've investigated ourselves and found we've committed no wrongdoing energy.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, if they came to me and they're like, hey, Ben, we want you to be on this, here's X amount of dollars or whatever. And I'm like, that's dark as fuck. Sign me up. Let's go. But I'm like, I'm telling everybody, but like, yeah, they're giving me money for this shit. What do you need me to say? Yeah, Windows love it. Can't get enough of it.
Windows Recall, you should enable it and let it record everything you do.
Speaking to the price, though, but to celebrate, they've decided to increase the price of tier one subs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's $5.99 now.
Yeah. Get wrecked.
Those extra 99 cents.
Ooh, make it rain.
It's to the point where a Twitch sub has cost more than an actual submarine sandwich sub.
I mean, this is Twitch right now. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Here's your pro tip, everybody. Like, you know, I understand some people get like the darkest timeline. When we open like the ads thing, I can say, okay, I don't want any pre-roll ads. So people can just get in and start watching the show. What do I got to do? I got to run three minutes of ads per hour. All right, fine. But I got a little setting says if you're Twitch sub, you don't get any ads. More importantly, if you get Twitch Turbo Nitro electric lightning bolt thing, what it used to be a long time ago, you don't get any ads either. But even on that dark timeline, I got another option, Pedro Mateus.
Mm-hmm.
Still make you watch ads, even if you have that. It should just be called, I'm a dick.
Just fuck you, here's an ad.
Yeah, fuck you, because that's why.
There's if you're live streaming, I can see the whole, yeah, I need to, like, 5 minutes, so I'm just going to play some ads now while I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That I'm okay with. It's the ads in the middle of, ooh, something really fun is happening, and then Twitch does that really annoying thing that it doesn't give you, like, the please can I go back like 5 seconds when the stupid ad cut off the bit that I wanted to see? No, can't do that. Well, then fuck you, Twitch.
Well, now you got to navigate it. That's why you see streamers that are like, we got ads incoming, boys.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, you have to put an ad in order to give people that buffer time until another one is forced upon them.
Yeah, so. Or you try to do the Dodger thing and you're like, I'm going to give you a 6 minute block of ads so that we can get two hours of like uninterrupted streaming. And, you know, then in 2 hours, I'm going to give you another six minutes of ads and take a break. And yeah, it's a thing.
Oh, now, you know,
ad-based economies. No,
no, we should go back to fish based economies.
I don't like fish. So, yeah, let's use that as
fish
currency.
And peas.
You gotta give peas a chance.
I'm allergic to those. So.
I don't see a downside. We get a safe. We get a healthier economy. We get to kill Pedro. Man,
fuck lightsabers. Force peas.
Yeah. Yeah, just shoot
that
frozen
means
peas
something
at people.
Else.
Oh, it might. No, you can keep thinking that right until you get some peas on you.
We got some Darth Orson Welles over here with some country goodness and green penis.
Massive penis. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to talk about your massive penis. Penis?
Pianist?
Yeah, there's no clean way to say that.
No.
You have a large piano player? Tell us about
it. Yes, pianist. You're large green pianist. Ho, ho, ho. You can do that. Head over to linksgamecast.com. Hit the contact button. Fill that shit out. We'll get it. If it's good, we'll talk about it on the show. Same goes for YouTube comments and, of course, comments left over at patreon.com/LinuxGamecast. Coming up this week, up first, is, man, something that I think Valve tried that already.
Yeah, Mixim. This is from MC Sim, Mixim, MC P-Pants, and he says, it's time for someone to make a Linux commercial product, like real commercial for everyday use with good gaming support and Etsy. I am ready to pay for Windows Alternative, but I want one-click installation. I want 100% game support out of the box without wine or whatever third-party emus. Well, I want free tacos and blowjobs.
That's a nice pipe dream you've got going on there. I'm not saying that's bad. Not ever going to happen. Even on Mac. On Mac, you've had to deal with the crappy ports of like the wrapper that virtual programming did.
I mean, how do I tell like first party from third party here?
I think those are second party
because like there's one person taking the picture.
I mean, that looks like a third party emu.
No, that's just like a double A emu.
Mm. Where is the Ubisoft quad?
The triple emu.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. What about dot emu?
But yeah, no. As much as I agree, and as much as I would love the everything is native, everything is Linux, everything is awesome. That's never going to fucking happen.
Yeah,
doesn't happen with Windows either. Because you don't get 100% game support out of the box in Windows. Not anymore.
Our native gaming future is dead, unfortunately. It is all Proton all the time. This is just the way the events have
expired. I don't know. This just seems like I would run Linux if with a bunch of extra words.
It's a pipe dream.
It's like, hey guys, like I run Linux too, man. I'd run Linux.
Yeah, it's like someone needs Linuxes to make this product, but also the entire ecosystem needs to change around it to accommodate it. Like, yeah.
No.
it is a beautiful dream, but it is just
maybe it'll happen one day. Blastico. What does that mean in Portuguese, Pedro?
That means nothing. That's not a word in Portuguese.
Pretend it was we're a doing a comedy instead show of a bee, and roll with me.
It's Portuguese Blastoise.
Instead of a B, it would just mean plastic.
All right. Blastico is talking about licenses. He says, if you are playing for games that can be taken away from you, .. or where you just can't give it or sell it to someone like any other product, .. you are a sucker. If I can't get a physical copy that is complete, I'll just pirate your ish. I'm not paying for a license to use the game, so if that's all you are selling, then you aren't even allowing me to give you money. That's one way to justify it, if you want to, like, justify stealing, sure.
So, we were talking about, like, what? Steam or some shit?
Yeah.
Yes. I can't. Physical copies, as much as I love them, and I do, I am the person who goes out of his way to, like, buy old games, physical copies of old games,
mm-hmm.
for the reason that, hey, it's not available digitally because it is in rights hell, like Heretic 2, like Alien versus Predator 2, like
some other sequel.
Yeah,
you can't download it because, like, you need the physical copy, right?
No, you can't download it because the publisher and the developers are no longer in talking terms, and therefore the game doesn't exist digitally.
Well, this goes, that does, even if you downloaded a pirate copy, it doesn't count the Blastico. It's got to be a physical copy, yes, that is complete. So that means that, like, there are games that you just don't get to play because they don't have physical copies. There's like,
yeah,
say
most
you hate
of them.
Say you hate indie games. Without saying you hate indie games.
Considering how many indie games come out versus...
Unless they have like a physical release from Dotemu or Humble or whatever, right? Like, yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, you know, I didn't know that, like, game collecting was a thing, and I ran across... I think we were talking about it on the show. This has been like over a decade ago, and I'm like, I brought it up to these guys, which new game collecting was a thing. And I'm like, so I was watching these organized hoarders. Like, oh, that's a hobby. Okay.
I mean, lots of types of hoarding are justified as hobbies.
Organized hoarding.
No, just hoarding. Hoarding.
I'm talking about organized hoarding, where you have a room dedicated to your hoarding.
Yeah, like, no, organized as in, I have a system? Yes, sure.
Organized as in, like, this is alphabetically arranged by, like, game platforms and, like, all this other shit. And I'm like, wow.
Like, the gaming YouTubers, like, the angry the video game video nerd and whatnot that have the shelves of games behind them.
Which is wild. I don't, I do not want physical copies just because I don't want to, like, encourage, like, all the shit that goes through, like, transport and production and all that. It seems unnecessary. Like, for what? So I can have the trinket.
Well, that and, like, I do not miss at all having to worry about, like, scratched discs or, mm-hmm. like, huh? losing a CD key or something like that.
No, we've just drunk Kool-Aid, man.
Yeah. It's tasty Kool-Aid.
That's the thing. I like the big box experience. I like pouring through the manuals. I like the physical experience of it. Yes. But The only thing I want is for Steam to let me download all my games and keep them without DRM. That's my pipe dream.
How many games do you think you have with DRM on your account? Is there an easy way to check that?
I don't know. You can check. There used to be a list on some wiki that had all of the Steam games that didn't have DRM. And the ones, I think it's on PC Gaming, the PC Gaming wiki. You can find all the Steam games that don't have DRM, and there's a couple of games that have cracks, effectively, that let you bypass the Steam DRM, but not all, unfortunately. So, yeah.
I think at the end of the day, even with, like, here's the way my brain works. Let me know. Well, it's like, it's a fucking video game. I'm like, you don't get to play it anymore. I'm like, all right. I'm the same way with movies. I'm the same way with fucking movies, because if you race with us on Tuesdays and Fridays, you know Ogie. Ogie's got a massive DVD Blu-ray collection. He's like, I want to have them. And I'm like, it's just a fucking movie. Whatever.
Yeah, no, stopkillinggames.com. There's very much a... in that respect of... completely pointlessly, too. Companies like Ubisoft taking away your ability to play the video game that you fucking paid for. No.
I prefer the Epic Games approach, where we're just going to remove all Guitar Hero downloads from the internet.
Yeah.
And then you just got to play it in Fortnite.
Done.
Yeah. Having Unreal on fucking GOG, was it costing you that much money, Tim?
It was tanking the company, Pedro.
It was distracting people from playing Unreal in Fortnite.
Yes.
The Unreal mode in Fortnite.
Redeemers are expensive, yo. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this Saturday night train wreck. If you like what we do, you want to support the show, head over to patreon.com/lightningschemecast or become a Twitch sub. Link that shit up to our Discord. We're hanging in there the other 6 days of the week. We got Amazon wish list. All that shit's over on lightningschemecast.com. We appreciate your support. That's how we do the show. If not, hey, man, share the show or something. Hit a read, whatever the fuck you share stuff on. That'll be dope. And at Reply Pedro on Mastodon, because he loves it. Yeah. If you want to get in touch with me, I'm Vin Stone on said Mastodon, at where I'm just at Vin. Yeah, do that, mast.linuxgamecast.com if you're looking for our little instance. And, of course, at Vin Stone on X or Twitter. And I got the Blue Sky thing, but I'm hidden over there. If you get any questions about your audio video bullshit, hit me up on Interfacing Linux. I'm there to answer questions, help you out with that. And of course, I'm in Discord. Feel free to reply me. You can see me posting a like dick measuring contest with our 3D effects cards, like me and Joe last night.
I'm Jordan, and I got a license to grill. You can see me cooking steaks on Mastodon at Frojo at mast.linuxgamecast.com, at Frojo at bsky.app, or at the Burning Fool on Twitter. Yeah,
my license is of absolutely no chill, because, yes, I do like the occasional internet argument. I am that person.
My license is revoked.
You can try. If you drop just the right kind of bait, I will totally bite, and I will have that internet argument with you. On Mastodon, mast.linuxgamecast.com. I'm at unaccounted for there with the actual number 4. Yeah.
The bait bite.
Yes.
Bite my bait.
I don't know. Dark Souls sucks. No credits.
That's all I got. Bite bait. It's sweet and spicy. It's swicy.
Swicy.
I didn't know that was a reward. It is.
Today I learned.
I've seen it. I Googled it.
We gotta thank our sauce-covered advisors, Omega Sartherum, our very saucy executive producers, Barb Bramp, Scott, Atomic Mike, Tomaj, Dave, Eshep, Ian, Kerducky, 1234, Apollo Drummer, oh my god, so many, and our Little Nicky fans, Super Death Stone, Empty Glorious Egg Roll, and Turbo Tree Slot, covered in that spicy mayo from Popeye's. That's so tasty. That's
Rider X, Machina, Trudgy, Vertanula, Justin, Darkwing, System T, Dancing, Joe, the Krasny, Oogie One, and Frostclaw. There we go. I can read. In the Death Notes, Nova, Chad,
you
Romeo,
crushed Pedro.
Renee, Leonardo, Kim, Chris, Stephen, Jill, Benjamin, Doom 2.1, Stephen B, Beck, Dodger, Zeno, Rue, so tiny, Jalou, Piper. I'm sorry, I missed a bunch.
You're not tiny, fine, upstanding cannibals. Carl, Mike, Arthur, and Linux, Neuraldi, Snuggles, Johnny, Shep, Gimitron, Unoid, DSN, Joe, who has a Voodoo1, Aromatic_Dev, and Kindjorride. All back here on the Fuck Wall. Until next week, get out there, get up to something nefarious, and yeah, get swicy with it. Are you dying to find?
Nah.
See you next week. Oh, don't get us slapped.
Getting swicy with it.
Five dudes.